Blog Talk Radio.
When Benjamin Franklin exited the Constitutional Convention, he was asked by a woman, "Sir, what have you given us?" His immediate response was, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." Yet most Americans today have been persuaded that our nation's governmental system is a democracy and not a republic. The difference between these two is essential in understanding Americanism and the American system. Before we discuss political systems, however, it's helpful to address the confusion that has been spread about the political spectrum. Many have been led to believe that the political spectrum places groups such as communists on the far left, fascists or dictators on the far right, and political moderates or centrists in the middle. However, a more accurate political spectrum will show government having zero power on the far right to having 100% power on the far left. At the extreme right, there is no government. The extreme left features total government under such labels as communism, socialism, Nazism, fascism, princes, potentates, dictators, kings, any form of total government. Those who claim that Nazis and fascists are right-wing never define their terms. This amounts to spreading confusion. Toward the middle of the political spectrum can be found the type of government limited to its proper role of protecting the rights of the people. That's where the Constitution of the United States is. Those who advocate such a form of government are really constitutional moderates. So let's analyze the basic forms of government. They are monarchy or dictatorship, ruled by one; oligarchy, ruled by a few; democracy, ruled by a majority; republic, ruled by law; and anarchy, which is ruled by no one. In discussing these five, we'll see that they can be narrowed down to even fewer. Looking first at monarchy or dictatorship, this form of government doesn't really exist in the practical sense. It's always a group that puts one of its members up front. A king has his council of nobles or earls, and every dictator has his bureaucrats or commissars, the men behind the scenes. This isn't ruled by one, even though one person may be the visible leader. It's ruled by a group. So let's eliminate monarchy, dictatorship, because it never truly exists. Oligarchy, which is ruled by a group, is the most common form of government in all history. And it is the most common form of government today. Most of the nations of the world are ruled by a powerful few, and therefore oligarchy remains. At the other end, we find anarchy, which means without government. Some people have looked over history and found that many of its worst crimes were committed by governments, so they decided that having no government might be a good idea. But this is a mistake, because as the ancient Greeks stated, without law there can be no freedom. Our founding fathers agreed and held that some amount of government is a necessary force in any civilized, orderly society. In a state of anarchy, however, everyone has to guard life, liberty, and property, and the lives of family members. Everyone must be armed, and movement is severely restricted because one's property has to be protected at all times. Civilized people have always hired someone to do the guarding, a sheriff, a police force, or some branch of government. Once law enforcement was in place, the people were freer. They could leave their property, work in the fields, and so on. In short, the proper amount of government makes everyone freer. There are some who advocate anarchy, however, not because they want no government, but because they don't like what they have. They use anarchy as a tool for revolutionary change. The condition of anarchy is very much like a vacuum where something rushes in to fill it. These calculating anarchists work to break down the existing government with rioting, killing, looting, and terrorism. Tragically, the people living in such chaos often go to those best able to put an end to it and beg them to take over and restore order. And who is best able to put an end to the chaos? The very people who started it. The anarchists who created the problem then create a government run by them, an oligarchy, where they have total power. This is exactly what happened in Russia that led to Lenin taking total power, and in Germany where Hitler's brown shirts created the chaos that brought him to power. But anarchy isn't a stable form of government. It's a quick transition from something that exists to something desired by the power hungry. It's a temporary condition, and because it isn't permanent, we eliminate it as well. The word democracy comes from two Greek words, demos, meaning people, and kratian, meaning to rule. Democracy, therefore, means the rule of the people, majority rule. This, of course, sounds good, but suppose the majority decides to take away one's home, or business, or children. Obviously, there has to be a limit. The flaw in democracy is that the majority isn't restrained. If more than half the people can be persuaded to want something in a democracy, they rule. What about republic? Well, that comes from the Latin, res, meaning thing, and publica, meaning public. It means the public thing, the law. A true republic is one where the government is limited by law, leaving the people alone. America's founders had a clean slate to write on. They could have set up an oligarchy. In fact, there were some who wanted George Washington to be their king. But the founding fathers knew history, and they chose to give us the rule of law in a republic, not the rule of a majority in a democracy. Why? Let's demonstrate the difference in the setting of the Old West. Consider a lynch mob in a democracy. 35 horseback riders chase one lone gunman. They catch him, and they vote 35-1 to hang him. Democracy has triumphed, and there's one less gunman to contend with. Now consider the same scenario in a republic. The 35 horseback riders catch the gunman and vote 35-1 to hang him. But the sheriff arrives, and he says, "You can't kill him. He's got his right to a fair trial." So they take the gunman back to town. A jury of his peers is selected, and they hear the evidence and the defense, and they decide if he shall hang. Does the jury even decide by majority rule? No, it has to be unanimous, or he goes free. The rights of the gunman aren't subject to majority rule, but to the law. This is the essence of a republic. Many Americans would be surprised to learn that the word democracy does not appear in the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution. Nor does it appear in any of the constitutions of the 50 states. The founders did everything they could to keep us from having a democracy. James Madison, rightly known as the father of the Constitution, wrote in Essay No. 10 of the Federalist Papers, "Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths." Alexander Hamilton agreed, and he stated, "We are a republican government. Real liberty is never found in despotism or in the extremes of democracy." Samuel Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, stated, "Democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself." The founders had good reason to look upon democracy with contempt because they knew that the democracies in the early Greek city-states produced some of the wildest excesses of government imaginable. In every case, they ended up with mob rule, then anarchy, and finally tyranny under an oligarchy. During that period in Greece, there was a man named Solon who urged creation of a fixed body of law not subject to majority whims. But where the Greeks never adopted Solon's wise counsel, the Romans did. Based on what they knew of Solon's laws, they created the 12 tables of the Roman law and, in effect, built a republic that limited government power and left the people alone. Since government was limited, the people were free to produce, with the understanding that they could keep the fruits of their labor. In time, Rome became wealthy and the envy of the world. In the midst of plenty, however, the Roman people forgot what freedom entailed. They forgot that the essence of freedom is the proper limitation of government. When government power grows, people freedom recedes. Once the Romans dropped their guard, power-seeking politicians began to exceed the powers granted them in the Roman Constitution. Some learned that they could elect politicians who would use government power to take property from some and give it to others. Agriculture subsidies were introduced, followed by housing and welfare programs. Inevitably, taxes rose and controls over the private sector were imposed. Soon, a number of Rome's producers could no longer make ends meet, and they went on the dole. Productivity declined, shortages developed, and mobs began roaming the streets, demanding bread and circuses from the government. Many were induced to trade freedom for security. Eventually, the whole system came crashing down. They went from a republic to a democracy and ended up with an oligarchy under a progression of the Caesars. Thus, democracy itself is not a stable form of government. Instead, it is the gradual transition from limited government to the unlimited rule of an oligarchy. Knowing this, we as Americans are ultimately left with only two choices. We can keep our republic, as Franklin put it, or we will inevitably end up with an oligarchy, a tyranny of the elite.
The Robert Rule Show starts in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its means to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
They welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5. You're listening to The Robert Rule Show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to The Robert Rule Show. I'm your host, Robert Rule. Today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. I had thought about having the show tonight. I know we haven't always been consistent. My co-host is off on his own venture, and so it's a little difficult to sync up and get everything right. I did have a chance today. I'm very tired. I walked a pretty big part of my district here. And, of course, I haven't made the announcement yet. So those of you that are wondering what office I am running for, you're going to have to wait until after the 20th of this month, which is next Tuesday. I will make a formal announcement. The people that I got along with the best on my venture today were the veterans. Why? Because the veterans know what's going on. We always hear Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and those kind of authoritarian types say that, hey, if you're not smart enough to go to college, you join the military. But I got to tell you, military men and women in this country know a hell of a lot more about what's going on in this country than the people who have spent the better part of their lives in college. Because, let's face it, the people in college are book smart. They're not common sense smart. People in the military are common sense smart. They have wisdom. They know exactly what's going on. And that's why I get along with those people. I had one older gentleman in particular who had fought in Vietnam in the early years. and he kind of gave me this look. And he was in his backyard, okay? And I, you know, I have respect for people's property. I'm not going to go in your backyard. I'm going to knock on your door. If you're busy doing something in the backyard, I'm not going to walk back there and bother you. But we happened to, you know, see each other. And I said, sir, would you mind if I came back there? He said, yeah, come on back. I told him, you know, what I was running for. And would he sign my petition? And he said, so tell me about yourself. What are you running for? But the only thing I could think of to say was, well, I'm anti-socialist, if that means anything to you. And he had this big grin on his face. I'll never forget it. He says, do you know, I traveled all around the world. I know what socialism is. He said, and I'll vote for you no matter what. If you're against it, you got my vote. So you see, thing. In the debates last night, the Democrats, my IQ probably dropped about 10 points from watching it, but it's my job. I have to watch these types of things as I'm here working. And Bernie Sanders came right out and said, hey, I'm a socialist. We're going to have a revolution. Talking about revolutions from Russia, the German Revolution brought Hitler into power. The Maoist Revolution brought Chairman Mao into power. Xi, whatever the hell his name is, all the communists, they have a revolution. That's how they come to power. They're always there. They're always changing things. They're always changing the environment. They indoctrinate the children like they did with the Department of Education. If you go, they take over all of the media. Like if you look at the Weather Channel taken over by what's-his-face. I was watching a show on the Weather Channel the other day, and it started to talk about climate change. And as Glenn Beck would say, my head almost exploded. Because that's all they kept talking about. It used to be global warming back when they set up the carbon trading, which would be a new type of derivatives market where you would be trading in carbon credits. All of the data has been fudged. We learned that from the ClimateGate scandal of the University of East Anglia, which the socialists will tell you, oh, that never happened, that never happened. When it's raining outside and you're dripping wet, they're going to tell you, it's not raining, the sun's out. That's how these people operate. And one of the key things that they do is they know they're breaking the law, but they will say, break the law, do it, and we'll apologize later. That is their big MO, modus operandi. That is their big one. Apologize later. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what a socialist is. If you don't know the methods and the means by which they operate, you better grab a book and start studying, because this is what it's all about. This man knew exactly what I was talking about when I told him I was against the socialists. Now it's dangerous. It's very dangerous to go up against these people, because these people want to kill you. They would kill you right there in the public square if they could. And I fear the day is coming. Not because we have socialists on the Republican side. We don't. What we have on the Republican side are opportunists, kiss asses, people who kiss their way to the top. And I think we have the music. Let's see. Oh, here it is. little background music. We have people in the Republican Party who kiss their way to the top. Just imagine them starting out in the city councils, precinct committeemen, kissing their way to the top, and just watch them climb that ladder as I play the meeting.
I've been really trying, baby.
They're opportunists. What do I mean by that? They see an opportunity, and they take it. Anything to bring them up in the party. So the ones at the top see a way to make money. They see a way to make deals. And so they make deals with the devil, which is the socialists on the other side. We always hear the phrase, cross the aisle. We need to reach across the aisle. You are shaking hands with the devil. That's what you're doing. Now, you notice how I say the word socialist, because there are still plenty of Democrats out there who are of the Kennedy generation, the folks who think like you and I, the Americans, people who respect the Constitution, people who want to preserve the Constitution and their Bill of Rights. People exist, but they're in the minority. And what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, as conservatives, is we need to root out the ass kissers, the opportunists. We need to root them out. I'm not saying go after them, attack them, but we need to think of those people as irrelevant. They're not in the fight. They're going to do and say anything to get votes, plain and simple. And I just don't have time for people like that, because I know what I'm up against. I'm up against socialists, like in Maoist China, like in the old Russia, like in Germany, Nazi Germany. That's what we're up against. Know your enemy. Know what you're up against. You can't do anything politically if you don't know your enemy. And a lot of the American people, especially here in my district when I went walking, these people where I live, I'm glad I live where I live, because these people know what's going on. I didn't even have to tell them. They told me. I'm going to sleep well at night knowing that I'm surrounded by so many intelligent people. I'm going to sleep real good. Now, here's another thing that I was able to bring up in conversation. And this is from Michael Savage. Michael Savage pointed this out. I'm not taking credit for this. I have a hunch. But he came out and said it, and he's got a lot bigger voice than I do. They are bringing in 200,000 fighting-aged refugees, men. They're not families. They're not women. They're not children. They are men, 200,000 of them. You want to talk about a Trojan horse? Okay. Some of you are probably saying, well, you're kind of jumping to conclusions, aren't you? We need to take care of these people. Okay, so why is the White House telling us that these are families, they're refugees, they're escaping some kind of persecution? Are they? We're not letting the Christians in. The Christians are the only ones being persecuted. Why are we letting in 200,000 fighting aged men into this country? Why are we bringing them in? Now, Michael Savage says it's because it's an army. They're bringing in an army because they know damn well, and about all the veterans that I've talked to, they will not fire on the American people. Now, we know this is what the purge was all about. They purged the military. They got rid of all the top officers, the Obama administration did, and replaced them with yes men, is essentially what they did. Because they wanted to. Now, before I get into this, I want you to go and I want you to do your research. And I want you to look up Smedley Butler. Smedley Butler was the most decorated Marine ever. And the people that run the show, the money changers, the people at the top, the George Soroses, the Zbigniew Brzezinskis, the Henry Kissingers, the Rockefellers, all the people at the top with the big money, old money. I'm talking old, old money. These guys have been around since the days of Napoleon, the families. They came to Smedley Butler and said, listen, we need a coup. We need to overthrow the government and we need to take over. And Smedley Butler said, I will not do that. I will not lead the army against this government or the American people. So that's the story of that. Now, our men and women in the military, they are not going to fire on the American people. They swore an oath to the Constitution. Military men and women, they don't have to follow an unlawful order, an unconstitutional order. They don't have to do that. And they're not going to. And so what Savage, Michael Savage, is pointing out is that, well, if that's not going to work, the purge didn't work, we got the yes men in there, but the combat troops are still not going to do it. You may get the special forces to do it. There's not so much like the Navy SEALs and stuff. They know what's going on. I'm talking other groups. There are some gung-ho people in other government groups that would do it. Mercenaries, if you will, like the Hessians. They will do it, but it's not enough. So what they have to do is now they have to bring in foreign armies. They've opened the border in the south. They're bringing in people from all over the world. It's not just Mexicans. And now they're bringing in all these refugees. And you see what's going on over in Europe. If you're not hip to that, you better get hip to it. Could we just be grasping for straws here? Sure. Maybe Michael Savage is wrong. And you know what? I hope he is. I hope that he's wrong. I hope that it doesn't happen. But just like our military prepares for every single scenario that you can think of, we have plans to fight Canada. Okay? Contingency plans. Now, it's never going to happen, but we have a plan in place in case it does. What I'd like to know is there a plan in place for a dictator who wants to take over the United States, who is going to bring in foreign troops masked as refugees, a Trojan horse, if you will? Is there a plan for that? All right. The Democrat debate basically was about giving people free stuff. I'm going to take from this person and give it to this person. This is what they do best. And this is why they get the votes. Because all of their stupid followers want something for free. Who doesn't want something for free? That's how advertisers get you. Free this, free that. But you're smart enough to read the small print. You know that you have to purchase so many thousands of dollars of stuff before you get one little $10 item for free. But they can advertise it as free. There should be a law against that. If there's a catch to it, even if it's buy one. Democrat debate. I didn't see a single leader in the bunch. I don't know about you. Let me tell you something about leadership. Leaders bring people up. They don't keep them down. As long as you're giving handouts to people, you're keeping them down. My father voted Democrat all his life. Not only did he vote Democrat, he grabbed a ballot that he could just make one check mark and vote the whole party Democrat, because that's what they do. And he said, I'm gonna get this Obamacare, because I'm not quite old enough to collect the Medicare. He went and got the Obamacare. I said, Dad, you know that's going to go up. Could be up to 1,000%. They're going to take everything that you have. This is too good to be true. And they said that by the year 2015, it would be increased greatly. Because every year they would have an increase. Now he owes them, Obamacare, $7,000. And he's bitching about it. See, me, I'm what the Bible calls a watchman. As long as I tell you what's going to happen, I'm okay. I know what's going on and I don't tell you, then pretty much I'm going to have to answer for that. But as long as I tell you what's going on and you make that mistake, it's no sweat off my back. I'm telling you what's going on. You're not listening. That's your problem. After I tell you, I don't have anything to do with it anymore. It's out of my hands. I would love to hear your thoughts on the debate. I know people that listen to the show tend to agree with me, and they're afraid to come on air. And it kind of pisses me off a little bit that you're not going to come on air and tell me what you think. I'm kidding. It's totally up to you. All right. Let's get on with the news. Sorry, I got distracted a little bit. Rand Paul, as you know, had a live feed all day long. A lot of people are saying that Rand Paul's going to drop out. Rand Paul's not going anywhere. Now, the media, people wonder, why is Rand Paul slipping in the polls? Here's why. The media has been saying that he dropped out. He did not drop out. He's still in. And I was going to play this clip, but I didn't have enough time to upload it. Maybe tomorrow. But Rand Paul is still in the race. Donald Trump wants Secret Service protection. You remember Obama got Secret Service protection. I think it was something like 8 months before the election, something like that. New information shows the Fox Lake cop that was killed was investigating a corrupt police chief. And here's a story on that. Fox Lake, Illinois. For the past month, the death of I hate these pop-ups. The death of police officer Joe Glinowicz has remained a mystery, but an interesting detail surfaced this week that shows a strange coincidence between his death and the investigation of one of his superiors. WGN Investigates has learned that the village sought approval to pay more than $25,000 to a private detective agency to investigate its former chief of police. The chief was placed on paid administrative leave after a village administrator started questioning what she called a lax discipline of another officer. That officer was accused of verbally and physically abusing a man in custody. The incident happened in December, but the village review didn't begin until 8 months later. The shooting occurred the day after Glinowicz was asked to help in the investigation of the chief. The very next in for backup and said that he was following three suspicious people. At some point during the chase, Glinowicz was shot and killed. Police quickly arrived on the scene, but the suspects were able to get away undetected. Lake County Coroner Dr. Thomas Rudd refuses to rule the case as a homicide, but all evidence indicates that the officer was murdered. How isn't that funny? Every time somebody is murdered and they want to cover it up, they either say it was a suicide or accidental, when clearly the evidence shows otherwise. So Melody Glinowicz, the officer's wife, told people that there was a lot of anger. The coroner is an elected person. He didn't perform the autopsy. The one that performed the autopsy came and stood on my deck and told me everything. There were two shots. Somebody that is going to kill themselves is not going to shoot themselves twice. So he fell on a knife 7 times, right? We've all heard that one before. There is extensive DNA evidence, the story goes on to say, at the murder scene, undoubtedly belonging to the suspects. Also, it makes no sense that he would randomly kill himself while in pursuit of three suspicious people. I know my father, quote, my family knows my father, and his closest friends know him well. He's not someone who ever contemplated suicide. He never had suicidal tendencies or anything like that. That's just a rumor. And that's that. It's a rumor. It's something someone made up because they wanted to interpret the story on their own. I full-heartedly disagree with that statement, although I can't change that person, that individual's mind of creating that saying, the officer son said. So, very poorly written. What happened to the writers of old? The writers that could paint you a picture in less than 5 words and say it eloquently. I miss those kinds of writers. But that's what we have to work with. In other news, local newscaster, harder on Hillary than Anderson Cooper. Republicans will not let her off so easy. So everybody seems to think that Hillary won the debate. I'll tell you who I think won the debate was Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders actually made some pretty good points. But he's a socialist. He doesn't really mean those things. Doesn't fit into their plan. Fuming Bernie supporters why is CNN deleting our comments? See, CNN was painting Hillary as the winner last night. But if you went on Drudge Report and you see who was the winner, clearly Bernie Sanders was the winner. How did Hillary look at secret text of Obama trade? That's what people want to know. Panic strikes school after student says gum. Not gun, gum. I mean, these people are crazy. Half of them are on psychotropic drugs because they're so imbalanced and bipolar, they can't even walk straight. And they need drugs to give them that balance. I don't mean to make fun of people. It's just the way it is. Everyone you see is bipolar today. I don't know if it's... Maybe we need to expand things. Maybe it's breeding with anyone in your own country. Maybe that's too close. And the brains are shrinking and people are off balance. They're bipolar, they're schizophrenic, they can't hack life. And so they go nuts and they go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, here you go, take this. It's an antidepressant, but it might cause suicidal tendencies. So here, go ahead and take this. And people do it. And they'll tell you they're on meds. They'll say, oh, well, that, you know, I'm sorry I got upset the other day. You know, I forgot to take my medication. And that's an excuse. Ah, okay. I got to get off of that. Action film about Benghazi may be irritant. Why? Because people are crazy. Watchdog probes Clinton Foundation payments to campaign. Dems press Biden to make a decision. GOP campaign call with debate host CNBC gets heated. Putin versus Obama, Gulf states at odds over who is the better ally. Well, let's look at this for a second. The United States government, not the government as a whole, but the people running the show, are sending weapons or have been sending weapons. They're put to you this way. They created ISIS in Syria. That's where it all began because they didn't want Assad in power. Now, you remember we played Colonel West. I have to get that clip. We played one of the colonels from way back saying we're going into seven countries systematically. He told you what countries they were going in first and what country they were going in last. Syria was one of those countries. What is the other thing those countries all had in common? They didn't have a central bank. In other words, they weren't run by the banking cartels, the same one that runs this country and our Federal Reserve. So they weren't run by them, which is what they wanted. And Bernie Sanders said it best yesterday when he said, we don't control the corporations. The corporations control the politicians, which is true. Money controls elections. Money controls votes. That's the way it works, folks. That's the way it works. So these people gave ISIS weapons. They trained them. They gave them money. Now we find out they gave them Toyota trucks, all those trucks you saw them leaving Syria in the convoy that we could have blew up a long time ago. Wouldn't even be where we're at now. Basically, we created this group of terrorists to do whatever we want them to do, kind of like we did with Al-Qaeda. Now, Al-Qaeda turned on us. So then we had to go in there and fight them. Out of that sprang ISIS. Now, Putin, the Russian dictator, gets pissed off. He says, you know what? I'm not the only one that can do this. I think Assad should stay because you people are evil. You want a one-world government, and we're not going to play your game. So Putin went in there and established a no-fly zone. Is Putin the bad guy for doing that? Is he a bad guy? Probably. Is he right in what he's doing right now? Probably. Are we in the wrong? I think so. I wasn't even going to do the show tonight. But here I am. Washington Times reaches profitability after 33 years, $1 billion-plus in losses. Why, that was a gamble. Ron Paul accuses feds of trying to hurt Rand Paul's campaign. Probably. That's probably what's going on. Terror indictments in Georgia for taunting with Confederate flag. So you're not allowed to fly the Confederate flag in front of somebody it might offend, is basically what they're saying. So if my neighbor was a white guy who is a part of Black Lives Matter and I wave a Confederate flag in front of him, now I'm going to be arrested? Are you serious? Terror indictments when these Black Lives Matter people are going around saying we're going to kill white people? Guy gets charged with terror for waving a rebel flag. You got to be shitting me. Man dresses as priest, performs sex act at the church altar. I'm telling you. Now, this world has gotten nuts. So I don't even know if I can go on. I'm reading this stuff. It makes absolutely no sense. It's sickening. Maybe this is why. No, that's not why people were crazy. They were crazy to begin with. In other news, let me check the time here. All right, we're gonna take a commercial break. I didn't realize I'd been talking for so long. I never talked this much. See you in about 5.
Obamacare. Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the words affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one. So you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the healthcare premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use. Yeah, you work out, stay healthy, but come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you?
A message from the White House Office of Obamacare. Propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and whine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th-century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful. Someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the rant. I think that's what we're going to call this show. So that's all I've been doing is ranting. I apologize for that. But, you know, there's a lot to talk about. We've got criminals running our government. And no one knows what to do. And no one, half the people don't even care. I watched as Democrats commented on the Democratic debate. And they're like, oh, I like so-and-so. Oh, I like so-and-so. And you have to laugh. And it's not because I'm a Republican. you have to laugh because socialism does not work. These people have no idea what socialism is. They only know what they're taught in school by their activist teachers and professors. All they know is, hey, there's a 1% and there's a 99%. And you're the 99%. We're poor, they're rich, and so we need to take their money and give it to you and me. What they don't tell you is you are going to share everything, everything, and you will have a dictator. Look at all of these countries who have ever had a dictator. They take women when they want. Let's say you and your wife just sit down to a nice, quiet dinner, and your dictator's henchmen cause the dictator happened to see your wife walking from the store and thought she was pretty hot. He's got to have her. Well, he's the ruler. And so he sends his henchmen over. You're just sitting down to dinner. They come in. They grab your wife and leave. That's the kind of stuff that happens in a socialist country, in a dictatorship. And don't tell me, oh, we have socialist countries like Australia, stuff like that. You know what? Australia is essentially an island, right? They have a city as big as New York, with a third or a quarter of the population. They took all the guns. They have people coming into their homes to inspect every single device that is plugged in, assess them for their carbon footprint, and charge them a fee. They're not free. As a matter of fact, when they came to take the guns, well, first they got rid of the assault weapons, which they called them. Really, they aren't assault weapons. Just because they look dangerous doesn't mean they're assault weapons. And then he said, okay, well, you can keep your pistols and your rifles because you need to hunt. People were cool with that because, you know, hey, we got rid of the dangerous guns. We're okay now. Well, then they came for the pistols and the rifles. Everything the socialists do is systematic. You give up one thing, they say, don't worry, we're not taking this. We're only taking this. We're not taking this. We're only taking this. So you say, okay, well, if you're only taking this, here you go. Then they come back and they say, okay, we're taking this. But you said you were again. Never mind, slave. Okay, we're taking it. This is how socialists operate. If they don't get a certain piece of legislation that they want, they've been trying Obamacare for almost a century. First they say, okay, well, we're going to come in, we're going to pay for this, we're going to create this, this, and this. And you're like, okay, we'll give you that as long as you don't take over the whole system. And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to take over the system. Then they try it. Then it fails. Then they try it again. Then it fails. Then they try it again. Then it fails. Then they say, aha, court judge to say, you know what? That's not a penalty. That's a tax. Therefore, the Commerce Clause comes into play, and this is constitutional. And like Michael Savage said before, I would love to see the video they have on that guy. He must have done something pretty bad. And all the Republicans said, oh, no, John Roberts is a genius. He knows what he's doing. Because some psycho babbling talk show host said, oh, he's a genius. Don't worry, it'll be good. He knows what he's doing. Okay, well, it's been how many years? The genius hasn't been overturned. It's been fully funded at least five times that I know of by Republicans who say they're conservative when Congress has the power of the purse. So you tell me, was John Roberts a genius? Or were you one of those people that said he was a genius? And if you're one of those people who said he was a genius, are you one of those people who thought TARP was a good idea? Are you one of those people who thought the bailout was a good idea? Are you one of those people who thought the Patriot Act was a good idea? Are you one of those people who thought indefinite detention of American citizens put into the National Defense Authorization Act was a good idea? But now, well, I don't think so now. But you were for each and every one of those things at the time. So what does that make you? I'll tell you what that makes you. It makes you a dumbass. So whenever you argue with me, when I say, look, guys, we can't do this because this, and this is going to happen. And you tell me, being a conspiracy theorist. Listen here, bud. Talk to me in about 10 years after you thought this was a good idea, and we'll see where we're at. There are those of us who can foresee things that could potentially happen. And they usually do. I wasn't for the bailouts. I wasn't for the Patriot Act. As a matter of fact, I thought Bush was a socialist. I wasn't for going into Iraq. I wasn't for the NDAA. I wasn't for any of that crap. But you guys said, oh, quit being a conspiracy theorist. They know exactly what they're doing. And I'll tell you why you said that. Because you got the talking points, River, and it trickled down to you. And that's what you're supposed to tell everybody. Are you done being a parrot? How about you come up here where the eagles are? Think for yourself. Quit being a parrot. If we don't get some leaders, and we don't get some leaders fast, we're in a lot of trouble because the socialists are like a train coming down the tracks. They're not moving. They're not going to move. In order to stop them, you're going to have to take them head on. And if you're not willing to take them head on, get off the tracks. Because there are those of us who will. And you need to step aside and you need to let us do it. I don't care if it costs you that $100,000 that you were planning on for your retirement fund. We have a country to save because once the socialists take over America, it's fine if the socialists took over Russia. We still had the United States to stop. It's fine if the Nazis took over Germany and half of Europe. We still had the United States to stop. It's fine if Chairman Mao killed millions of people over there in China. We have the United States to stop them. What happens when the socialists take over the United States? Who's going to save our asses? You? You're going to save us with no gun? No guns? No voice? No recourse? You're going to save us? How about we don't let it go there? Why do I find myself repeating the same thing over and over and over every single night? I have better things to do with my time. I preach this to fellow Republicans all the time. Why are you such a piece of you-know-what? Why do you question things and try to make people look bad when all they're doing is telling you what's going on, telling you the truth? They can't be expected to go and look up every single piece of legislation, every single thing that they've ever heard or seen or read. They know what's going on. Why are you nitpicking? Because you're a shill. You are what we call a party bitch. And you do the bidding of those above you. You're like a turncoat. That's who you are. I hate to say it. I hate to be the one to say it, but it needs to be said. Do you or do you not love this country? Do you or do you not love everything that this country, every principle this country was founded on? Our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, our neighborhoods, our families, our values, everything that made this country great, do you not love that? Then why would you sell out to make a few bucks? If you know somebody's doing something wrong, then say something. Cower in the corner, hide in the shadows, kiss a bunch of ass, and do their bidding. Stand up. Stand up and say, you know what? You're going against my Constitution. You're going against my principles. Walmart shares dive 10% on profit warning. Consumer losing will to shop. Top banks grapple with weak revenue. Donald Trump. Oh, we already went over that. Claims that the Fed keeping interest rate down to protect Obama. Well, he is their puppet, so. And I've already explained that numerous times. The president is just a puppet. Just a puppet of the big banks, the men behind the curtain. That's all president is. You don't pick the president, contrary to popular belief. Primetime TV audiences fall despite delayed viewing bump. I'll tell you why your primetime audiences fall. you can all identify with this. ABC, NBC, CBS. They put a new show on TV. And the pilot is great. You're like, man, this is a cool show. I'm going to record the series. I'm going to watch this all the time. Then they play another show. You watch that. And then that show doesn't come on for 6 more months. And then they do about a 5-part series, and it's gone forever. And it's only the good ones that they do that with. They never stick around. And they wonder why their viewership is so low. Back in the old days, you had shows that would come on television, and you could count on it you know, when fall came around, you could count on the new shows being on each and every night, just like clockwork. You knew what shows were on. You knew what time they were. You had your favorite shows. And they lasted for like 10 seasons. And you had high ratings and viewership. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know why they do it. Probably got a bunch of bipolar people working there. I don't know. Texas, more international than any time since it became a state. I don't know what that's all about. I really don't care to know. New California law helps illegals with drug convictions remain on the streets. Customs computer outages, glitches reported at multiple airports. Emojis are ruining civilization. Of course, we're under attack tonight. Why would tonight be any different? In Jonathan Frazen's novel Purity, a 1970s college student having a long, captivating initial phone conversation with a woman who will capture his heart reflects, quote, "My world had been shrinking to the size of her voice in my ear. It seems crucial that we have had our first real conversation on the phone, which distills a person into words passing directly into the brain. Olden days, lately a young lady telephonically contacted by a suitor must content herself with something more along the lines of, you so hot, want to come over for chill sesh." What the? Oh, evolution. Evolution. Darwinism. I thought we were supposed to get smarter over time. Isn't that how Darwinism goes? Darwinism. The species is supposed to evolve, get smarter, not stupider. Well, it seems Darwin was wrong because we seem to be getting stupider. Let me read that to you again. You so hot, want to come over for chill sesh, which is more or less a sonnet compared with the emoji chatter that's taking over the form word-based texting in an attempt to show that it, too, understands the supremacy of cutesy pictograms. USA Today last week ran emojis next to its front page story. Surprise face for news leading Republican Representative McCarthy bowing out of the race for Speaker of the House. Crying face for U.S. hero of French train attack stabbed. They can't even write the freaking story. This is the New York Post. You know what? I'm not even going to continue with that story. The sentences make no sense. The punctuation is in the wrong place. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I can't do it. I can't do it. Next story, please. Oh. Let's see. And by the way, I'm kind of winging it tonight. I wasn't even prepared. I was out walking, meeting people. So I wasn't even prepared for this. Of course, we don't have Jason anymore. I don't know what he's doing. Jason just kind of disappeared. Started up a Facebook page and disappeared. So I don't even know what's going on there. Viagra parties. Ooh. There you go. So much for karaoke. We have Viagra parties now. Yeah, that's weird. Okay, we're not going to cover that story. Parents outraged after German schoolchildren asked to make beds and cook for refugees. Apple loses patent lawsuit to University of Wisconsin, faces hefty damages. Billionaires shrug off volatile markets for art shopping spree. I don't believe that's shrugging off the volatile market, because art is kind of like gold. It's a hedge. You invest in art, you invest in gold, you invest in silver, you invest in all precious metals, art. Not shrugging it off. Plot to destabilize the Pope. Oh, and that reminds me of an inside story, not inside to me. I'll see if I can find that here. Right here. Now, this is a quote from the author of the publication. Last week, I went to visit two of my most trusted sources in the Vatican. One member of the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre and the Pontifical Equestrian Order of St. Sylvester Pope. The other, a clergy member of the Vatican Secretariat of States, the oldest dicastery in the Roman Curia, which is the central papal governing bureaucracy of the Roman Catholic Church. Two separate meetings, the present situation of the church was discussed, as well as the ongoing synod of bishops, which will terminate on the 24th of October, 2015. The information that surfaced during these meetings was shocking, to say the least. Two separate reliable sources within the Vatican stated that Pope Francis will resign next year. This will occur during his pastoral visit to his nation of Argentina and the two neighboring countries of Chile and Uruguay, in the period of the time that coincides with the bicentennial of the 1816 Argentine Declaration of Independence. See, you gotta understand, these people are all about dates. You might think it's a bunch of BS. But these people believe in dates. Okay? The date was selected with care to avoid interference, as the Argentinian government desires this event to transpire after the 2015 presidential elections. It has been speculated that the Pope would potentially canonize Jose Gabriel del Rosario Rochero, that's a long damn name, during the visit to Argentina, never imagining this to be the moment that Pope Francis has chosen with his fellow Jesuits to end the papacy. George Mario Bergoglio wishes to retire in Argentina, not the Vatican, completing his service as a Jesuit and Pope to the New World Order. He has successfully promoted Agenda 2030, which is carbon taxes, basically, the breakdown of family values, as well as the sanctity of the cross. He has supported growing Mexican immigration as it makes Catholicism stronger in the U.S., the European refugee crisis, which is instrumental in destroying the birthplace of the Christian civilization, ready to be replaced by Islam, and a one-world religion. A job well done for this puppet of the New World Order. And that's, hey, if it happens, I mean, it happens. But until then, we're a bunch of crazy conspiracy nuts. Listen, I'm just reporting what I'm reading. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay. What else we got here? Lawmen reveal federal agents consider constitutionalists a threat. So if you care about the law of the land, which is the Constitution, that is the supreme law of the land, if you care about that document, terrorist. The federal government will stop at nothing to gain control over all local law enforcement. Finally, some patriotic lawmen are exposing the unconstitutional effort for what it is, tyranny. In an interview earlier this year with Defend Utah, Deputy Sheriff Bo Babka was asked if he had personally seen reports from federal agents demonizing constitutionalists. Yes, absolutely, he said. And the demonization of patriots will only increase as the federal government plans and performs job training tasks with local police departments and sheriff's offices. Now, you know, Cleveland, the recent visit to Cleveland by the Department of Justice, setting up a plan of action, that's what they're talking about here. As the military transitions into a high-tech, heavy force, increasingly reliant on robots and drones, local police forces are looking less like law enforcement and more like heavily armored combat units. Now it seems they are starting to train them as well. On September 29th, Defending Utah spoke with David Browning, police chief of the city of Enoch, Utah. Browning told the group that he has personally participated in federal training exercises. He said that the federal agent in charge of the exercise informed local law enforcement participants that the mere carrying of the U.S. Constitution constituted an individual being a potential threat. So me, when I go out on the campaign trail this next year, and I have my gun on my hip, and my Constitution in my pocket, consider me, somebody who's running for office, a potential threat. When I have made no threats, I haven't done anything wrong, it's perfectly legal to carry a gun on your hip in the state of Ohio. It's perfectly legal to carry the law of the land in your pocket. But I'm going to be a threat? Really? This is what we're facing, ladies and gentlemen. You got the socialists at the Southern Poverty Law Center who will not categorize groups like Black Lives Matter as a terrorist group, even though they've actually come up and grabbed the microphones out of the hands of candidates. Presidential candidates. I have never once seen a patriotic group do that. Yet these patriotic groups are the ones who are chastised. Never once have I seen a patriotic group threaten anyone. I haven't seen it. So what does this tell me? It means that we have a rogue government. Run by socialists. And if you don't pick the right presidential candidate, well, it's probably game over. Now I'm going to go to another commercial.
I support our councilman, John Plechnik. He's honest and fiscally responsible.
John Plechnik promised to vote against deficit spending, and he kept his promise. So I'm voting for John.
We don't want another rubber stamp. We need a strong, independent voice like John Plechnik.
I'm with John because we need to support our police, our firefighters, and John Plechnik understands that.
I'm John Plechnik, your no-nonsense, common-sense councilman, and I'm honored this message was paid for by Neighbors for Plechnik.
Now, John McCain and Lindsey Graham encourage you to get behind immigration reform.
Comprehensive immigration reform is almost within our grasp. But a few conservative Republican holdouts are making this process uncomfortable. They just don't understand the Republican Party is in a demographic death swirly. We need Hispanics to replace the coming wave of conservatives who will no longer support our party after we give corporate America the cheap labor we promised in exchange for campaign donations. Border security, biometric identification, fences, fines, penalties are all words that are somewhere in this bill. So it passes the smell test as far as we're concerned. So, conservatives, quit calling and bugging your representatives to vote against this bill. It's a good bill, and as a co-author of McCain-Feingold, you have my word on that.
This message paid for by Democrats for Republicans, USA.
You've got a headache. Now I've got some strange disease, don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease. It's called Progenitorivox. It's made by Squab Merle Co. It's a life-enhancing miracle, but there are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations, but it's worth it for the drugs I need.
My disease may not be fatal, but I can ease my fears by taking two $12 pills each day for 50 years. They've spent billions to convince me, so now I realize Progenitorivox beats diet and exercise. I've got insurance, at least for now I do. And if I bought generic, it would cut my cost in two. But I want Progenitorivox, 'cause I saw it on TV. Those families look so functional. That's Paisley Pills for me.
But it may cause deprivation, humiliation, debtors, prison, and deportation. Dark predictions, dire predictions, life that's seen in Dickens fiction. Empty pockets, court dockets, may cause eyes to pop from sockets. But it's worth it for the drugs I need.
Well, the first day we met, he came up to me and the first thing he said was, God hates sex.
I did. It was beautiful. For me, Westboro Mingle is this vehicle that God did use to put my wife and I together. And that, for me, is a very powerful, powerful thing.
Powerful, like a bomb. Like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, like a bomb that just blows everything up.
Kills everyone. When I met Jay on Westboro Mingle, I was so relieved. I finally found someone who hates everything I hate.
Blacks, gays, Jews, Mexicans, Jamaicans, anything west of America.
Music, dancing.
Vacations.
Dinosaurs.
Space travel.
Modern art.
Books.
Okay. Oh, and I remember this one time we were ticketing a funeral. It was the kindergartners, or was it the war?
It was the soldiers.
Mm-hmm. And my arms were tired. And he comes up to me and he takes the sign out of my hands and he goes right up to that enabler's children. And what did you say?
He said, "Your father's burning in the eternal fires of hell."
Hi, my name's Mindy, and I met my husband Jay on WestboroMingle.com.
Join WestboroMingle.com, the first website made by God.
Hello, peasants. I mean citizens. We are here to protect you.
Mercer.
Do not believe the conspiracy theorists who say you have rights. Do not believe
Almost
the conspiracy theorists who say there is a constitution. You don't, and there isn't. In fact, you need not bother with responsibility at all. We will take care of you. We will protect you. If you happen to hear these crazy people babble about gun rights, the Constitution, corrupt politicians, or anything else that could possibly sentence us to a life in prison, please contact our offices immediately, and we will indefinitely detain them.
Your papers? I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that, yes. Here we are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt! Halt!
You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Personal utopia. Oh, I can't handle all this crap. What it is, crap. Here's an interesting story. Top scientist resigns, admitting that global warming is a big scam. Top U.S. scientist Hal Lewis resigned from his post at the University of California after admitting that global warming was a big scam in a shocking resignation letter. This is from the Telegraph. Following is a letter to the American Physical Society released to the public by Professor Emeritus of Physics Hal Lewis of the University of California. Probably just butchered that all to hell. But here it is. When I first joined the American Society 6-7 years ago, it was much smaller, much gentler, and as yet uncorrupted by the money flood. A threat against which Dwight D. Eisenhower warned a half a century ago. Indeed, the choice of physics as a profession was then a guarantor of a life of poverty and abstinence. It was World War II that changed all that. The prospect of worldly gain drove few physicists. As recently as 35 years ago, when I chaired the first APS study of a contentious social scientific issue, the reactor safety study, though there were zealots aplenty on the outside, there was no hint of an inordinate pressure on us as physicists. We were therefore able to produce what I believe was and is an honest appraisal of the situation at the time. We were further enabled by the presence of an oversight committee consisting of Piotr Panofsky, Vicky Weisskopf, and Hans Bethe, all towering physicists beyond reproach. I was proud of what we did in the charged atmosphere. In the end, the Oversight Committee, in its reports to the APS president, noted the complete independence in which we did the job and predicted that the report would be attacked from both sides. What greater tribute could there be? How different it is now. The giants no longer walk the earth. The money flood has become the ration of much physics research, the vital sustenance of much more, and it provides the support for untold numbers of professional jobs. For reasons that will soon become clear, My former pride at being an APS fellow all these years has turned into shame, and I am forced, with no pleasure at all, to offer you my resignation from the society. It is, of course, the global warming scam with the trillions of dollars driving it that has corrupted so many scientists and has carried APS before it like a rogue wave. It is the greatest and most successful pseudoscientific fraud I have ever seen in my life as a physicist. Anyone who has the faintest doubt that this is so should force himself to read the ClimateGate documents, which, thank you, mentioned earlier, which lay it bare. Montfort's book organizes the facts very well. I don't believe that any real physicist, nay scientist, can read that stuff without revulsion. I would almost make that revulsion a definition of the word scientist. So what the APS, as an organization, has done in the face of this challenge, it has accepted the corruption as the norm and gone along with it. I do feel the need to add this one note, and this is a conjecture, since it is always risky to discuss other people's motives. Scheming at the APS HQ is so bizarre that there cannot be a simple explanation for it. Some have held that the physicists of today are not as smart as they used to be, but I don't think that is an issue. I think it's the money, exactly what Eisenhower warned about a half a century ago. There are indeed trillions of dollars involved, to say nothing of the fame and glory and frequent trips to exotic islands that go with being a member of the club. There you have it, right there. Sadly, the honest people in this world, and when I say honest, I mean with all sincerity, honest, basically, pure. If you talk to a lot of the old people that are around the World War II era, they are the purest, most honest, most intelligent people you will ever meet, as they came from a society where dignity, your family name, honesty meant everything. We don't have that anymore. It's all out the window. This man was from that era. And when he saw the corruption, he said, you know what? I can't, in good conscience, do this anymore. Can't be a part of it. And I'm sure he loved his job. I'm sure he was very proud of his work. But like he said, when you have trillions of dollars flowing into a corrupt system, everyone goes along because they want a piece of that money. And guys like this, who should be the real role models of our society, are forced out. We are losing some of the greatest minds in human history because of greed. And once they're gone, how are we going to move forward? I'm going to let you ponder that a bit. I want you to think about it very, very carefully. And hopefully we'll see you at the same time tomorrow evening. But for now, God bless you all. God bless America.